Hello and welcome to Nerd of Mouth, the weekly show where we talk about all things nerdy. My name's Philippa, I use she, her pronouns, and I'm joined by...
Hello, my name's Jamie and I use he, him pronouns.
And we're still obviously at home, as is everyone else, and so this week we thought we would talk a little bit about everything we've been getting up to during the lockdown and what other people have been getting up to. So first of all, let's do our usual, our nerdy thing of the week. What in particular have we been getting up to? So Jamie, what have you been getting up to this week?
I have been getting into Star Wars The Clone Wars. I'm still quite early into it, but I've heard it's having a phenomenal run of form in the seventh season, so I'm starting from season one, where I think it's still a bit choppy, but it's, you know, it's classic sort of Star Wars action for children. There's a lightsaber battle every episode, you know, and I'm happy with that. It's a perfectly valid way to pass the time. I'm at a rate of around 5 episodes a day at the moment, so I'm getting through it very quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. I've been, I caught up on the Doctor Who watch along, which I think we mentioned a little bit last time, which is people on Twitter are like organising to watch episodes of Doctor Who at the same time, which I didn't actually end up watching it when I was sort of supposed to watch it, but I did catch up, which then made me remember watching stuff weekly, if that makes sense. Like, I'm so used to watching things in big chunks, like you were saying with the Clone Wars stuff. I was like, actually, I quite like watching things weekly. And I've been doing the same. Netflix has acquired Life on Mars, which I think I only saw like the very, very last episodes when it initially came out all those years ago. I think it was like 2006, 2007-ish.
Yeah, sounds
and
about
so
right.
So we've been watching, me and my family been watching an episode each evening, and then sort of limiting ourselves to just one episode, which has been quite nice, actually. So sort of slowly going through that has been the main thing we've been up to. And then I've watched a bit more of The Witcher as well, because that's also out on Netflix at the moment, which has been very good.
Yes, I haven't watched it yet. I've been meaning to, but my main exposure to Witcher is on YouTube adverts, where it will just come up with the Netflix logo and then a very close-up shot of Henry Cavill's arse. And say, Witcher, I've been waiting for you. And I think that might be giving me the wrong impression of the show.
Yeah, I mean, there are some shots of Henry Cavill's bum, but they don't come through until a little later, I think. Mostly he is fully clothed.
Oh, okay, well, sorry, the bits I've seen are sort of very tight leather trousers, so it's...
He does wear leather trousers, but there's also a lot of shots of him sort of broodingly looking at things, so...
He does brood good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's very good at brooding.
He does good
brood. I will say, I did find the first two episodes were not brilliant. They did watch very much like, this is a video game that's been turned into a TV series, which is weird because it's originally a book series, but then it definitely improved a bit after that. So if you can kind of make it through those first two episodes, it definitely does get a bit better, which is good. Which is how I persevered, because other people told me that.
So. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, yeah, that's what we've been up to. But obviously, I think everyone at the moment is finding, you know, indulging in their nerdy hobbies if they have this extra time on their hands. So... there's all sorts of stuff that's been going on. So first of all, I mentioned the Doctor Who watch along. You've been following along much more closely than I have, I think.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to kind of just basically cover the basics of what that is for anyone who is interested?
Okay, to summarise, there is a woman who works for Doctor Who magazine called Emily Cook, and she, using her contacts at the BBC, got asking various people who are in various Doctor Who episodes, would you like to tweet along with this? And then everyone involved in Doctor Who, or just fans, will just watch it on Netflix or BBC iPlayer or what have you. They'll all watch the episode at the same time, as if it were a live broadcast, and they tweet along with it, and they share all of the happy memories about it. And they've, at the moment, they've been sticking to sort of very well-remembered episodes. So that's been doing quite well. But there has been the occasional... jump on now. So there's been, as well as just the, I don't want to say the official one, but it's the one with sort of official backing, in a way. It's just been watching some new series stuff here and there. There has been it was a really nice, good thing, but as with, because Doctor Who fandom has to sort of ruin everything a little bit, there's been some factional stuff. they've been going, why haven't they been showing any of the classic series on this watch along? And the answer is because not everyone has access to that. And
yeah,
that
it's harder to watch that.
That will inherently block you out unless you resort to piracy or having it on DVD. So there's been a classic Who faction that have watched some stuff and has inspired at least one person to go off the deep end, who is a major name in the Doctor Who fan community called Philip Morris, who has been very anti-new series as a direct result of this. But then there's been Big Finish, who do Doctor Who audio productions. And they've been nice because they've sort of they've allowed a free listen along to one of their things that you'd normally have to pay for,
Nice.
They've been able to broadcast that on their website. So I think they've handled that very well there. So yeah, so there are branches of it, but it's still quite well thought of. It's still very good.
So is there a hashtag that you can kind of search to find it? Because it's mostly on Twitter, isn't it?
The general hashtag is hashtag Doctor Who Lockdown, but it sort of changes by episode.
Yeah.
So I think the next one is on May the
6th. I asked this because I was quite confused. I was trying to find it, and I was like, I don't understand. There seem to be so many different things going on. As you say, there seems to now be branches of different people doing different things. So that was confusing me a little. But yeah, I think Doctor Who Lockdown seems to get you to the main gist of everything.
I'm not sure what the hashtag for the next one is, but if anyone wants to listen along, the next one is on May the 6th. It's The Girl in the Fireplace, and Stephen Moffat and Sophia Miles are tweeting along with it. And it should be quite interesting to hear some behind-the-scenes stuff about this, because I think Sophia Miles and David Tennant started dating during this episode. So I don't know if that's going to come up, if we're going to get any hot goss about it.
The juicy goss. Yeah. Oh, I like The Girl in the Fireplace. That's one of my favourite episodes, actually.
It's a good one, and I think there's a nice story about, because it's roughly based on Audrey Niffenegger's The Time Traveller's Wife. And Audrey Niffenegger liked it so much that she references the episode in another one of her books. And now HBO are doing an adaptation of the book, and they've got Stephen Moffat to write it. So it's a whole big, nice little give-and-take situation.
Cool. That's really cool.
Yes, and there's one more thing about the Doctor Who thing that I forgot to mention, is that as well as tweeting along, quite a lot of the creators will sort of provide little additional content before and after the episodes.
Yeah.
And increasingly, these have been filmed now rather than just written down, but sometimes they're animated, sometimes people who work on the Doctor Who comics will provide images and so on. But no, there's been some lovely stuff. So everyone's got involved. Chibnall, Russell T. Davis, Stephen Moffat, Paul Cornell, Robert Shearman, Neil Gaiman, Richard Curtis. It's been a real positive boom, actually, I think.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Also, going back through... So I have Netflix, so I was looking through Netflix to watch the episode. And I was like, there's so much of it. I'd forgotten how many series there'd been and, like, how many episodes there were, but then also I was like, wow, most of the ones I really remember are from the first, probably just the first three seasons, because I definitely, like, dropped off watching it a bit after David Tennant left.
That's so, quite a common story, I don't blame you.
I think, yeah, it's a very, very common thing to do, but I was like, wow, actually... It's interesting how it both seems to have loads of content, but also I was like, actually, there's not that much of Tennant in the grand scheme of things. It just obviously felt like it at the time, and it is spread out. So it was kind of reminding me again of, like, actually, sometimes it's good to not completely binge watch everything. It's nice to sometimes spread it out. Although then I had the problem I would always miss. I'd always miss the episode and have to catch up anyway. So
yes, there was a surprise.
But that's just because I can't follow a TV schedule.
It was quite surprising at the start, because for a long time there wasn't actually that much David Tennant content, and everyone was thinking, oh, but he's the most popular one, and yet we've been focusing on Christopher Eccleston and Matt Smith, and it's quite interesting watching that back, and we haven't done Blink yet, which everyone seems to think is the best Doctor Who episode, and the fact that that hasn't come up is, I don't know, maybe they're waiting for, like, an anniversary, because a lot of them have been based on sort of when it's convenient, because we've celebrated, like, the 15th anniversary of an episode and the 10th anniversary. So it is surprising, and I can see why maybe people are thinking, actually, you're deliberately snubbing X Doctor and Y Doctor, because we haven't had any Jodie Whittaker episodes yet, which is surprising, but at the same time sort of not, because it's... They have only just happened, you're right. And there isn't so much of a positivity surrounding her, so it's... at the moment. So I do worry that if one of those comes along, it will open the gates to make it a negative experience.
Oh, well, fingers crossed. That will not happen.
I suspect if we get one, it will be presumably after this, and it'll probably be Rosa, that episode.
Yeah. Because most people agree that was a good one. Mm. So. Yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying the Jodie Whittaker ones, but yeah, I can see why there would be, particularly on Twitter, there may be some factions emerging. Mm. Talking of Twitter, of other things that have been going on there, one of the ones I've been kind of following on a little bit is the show Taskmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Has been creating some Taskmaster at home challenges for people to do. So I haven't been doing many of the tasks. I only did one of them. But basically, they set a little task at the beginning of the day, and then you have like the whole day or sometimes 2 days to complete it and film a little short video to post to Twitter, and then the best ones get compiled into a little YouTube video. There's no actual prizes, it's just do you get featured basically is the prize, and then everyone else going like, this is really fun. So like the one I did was make a dancing elephant.
Oh yeah.
So there was like people dressing up as elephants, someone turned their car into an elephant, I made like a little elephant paper cutout, and things like that. And then another one was like, turn your bathroom into the place you'd like to go on a night out. And there was one which was turn your kitchen into an Olympic sport arena.
Sorry, you'd frozen up a bit, don't worry. I've been following this fairly religiously as well. I know that there isn't a prize as such, there is an ongoing leaderboard, it must be said. And there are some people that start to show up in various videos, and you think, okay, they're doing quite well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, there's definitely repeat people. but it's really fun seeing everyone's different take on the challenges and like different ideas of how they've done it and stuff. So that's a really fun one, and that's, I think, again, because it's on Twitter, so the hashtag is something just like, I think, like home tasking or taskmaster at home, things like that. I also really liked
home tasking.
Home tasking
is the one I've heard.
What I really liked about it was it really epitomized our switch to the technology, because the very first one, it was Alex Horn is the guy obviously hosting it. And it was like, make a video. And then the second day it was, make a video that is 20 seconds long. And the third day was, make a video that's 20 seconds long that is in horizontal. And like adding more and more instructions, because obviously people were not, and like, make sure you're posting to the right thing. And each day it was like a slightly extra bit of instructions, because people were doing things that they hadn't figured out yet. so Taskmaster is sort of reminding me of doing a Zoom call where you have to sort of explain all of the rules to everybody and help them sort of like get through it all. So it's giving me like Zoom flashbacks of trying to teach my various relatives how to use video calls.
Oh yeah.
Basically. But yeah, I think that's been a really fun little thing that everyone can join in. And a really clever idea, I think, on their part to get everyone like remembering what the show is and joining in like that. Have you been noticing any other things like that that have been popping up?
I suppose that... Oh, no, hang on. There has been... There are some videos, sort of like chain videos, I suppose is the best way to describe them.
Yes.
Where... what will happen is someone will record like 5 seconds in sort of a TikTok style, where they will receive a phone and they will do something and they will pass the phone on. And the two best ones I've seen of that are, there is, I think there's like a group chat of stuntmen working in Hollywood, And so what happens
Yes.
is all of them will act like they've been punched in the face, and then they will do an action, like a flying kick or a punch, and then they will cut to the next person in the sequence, and it's like they have been punched, and they will pass it on to the next person, and so on and
Yeah.
so forth.
Yeah, I think I've seen some of that. But I really like that one. I saw one, and it was, so I do a lot, listeners, I do a lot of knitting, and so I'm in the fiber community a lot, and there was one of all these different knitters being like, woo, 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 and then like doing a little spin and changing into their fully knitted outfit, and then being like, now you, and like passing it on to the next person, which is really fun as well. Some of them have been successful, I think. I think the most successful are ones where you don't necessarily know the person, but of course, if we're going to talk about like chain things, do we need to mention Imagine?
I think it's probably worth discussing it as a template for how not to do things.
How not to do it, yeah. So,
I think
Gal Gadot who started it? But some celebrity on Twitter basically was like, I'm going to sing the song Imagine, and I'm going to encourage all my other celebrities to sing it, and it's going to be great, and it wasn't great.
Mm.
It was really not great.
She started and ended it. I don't know if she was the one organising behind it, but it's... I think part of the problem, and why I haven't actually seen any media that I don't think has been as bad since, and I think people have just learnt from the massive backlash to that, because, for one thing, no one else has anything other to do than criticise videos on the internet at the moment.
Yes,
or at
true.
That point. So it was in a big position to be criticised, but it had... Part of it was just tone-deaf song choice, and the other part of it was tone-deaf singing, really, wasn't it? So it's
yeah. And also the... I think most of the people who did it had it, like, full selfie cam up in your face, like, just fully singing. It was just a bit... I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm English and I'm like, oh, no, we don't do that sort of, like... This is a bit American and brash and, like, full of yourself or something. But it just came off really weird to me, like... We don't know you as a singer, Gal Gadot. Why are you doing this?
Mm.
You singing to me is not going to make me feel better.
No, it's a bit patronising, isn't it? It's sort of a...
Yeah, I'm so amazing, therefore I will automatically make you feel better.
There's a little bit of the old, we're celebrities, we're important, almost, you know, sort of in a time where they can't do anything, they sort of have to remind us, hey, look at us a bit.
Mm.
And that's...
I think that's why it came across slightly strange.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, people doing something they're already good at and being like, here's this cool thing we've done. Like, that doesn't seem so strange to me, like, in the same way. I guess
I mean,
also,
the very
like...
next video I saw in that genre was, I think, the Backstreet Boys got together to do My Way. Not My Way, what's it called?
I want it
That Way. That's
way?
The one.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all doing it from their own house and they got their children involved. And it was nice, but it's also something that they have... Fact is, beforehand, something that people would want them specifically to do.
Yeah, like, we're expecting Backstreet Boys to sing that song because it's their song. That's not strange.
Yeah, and you get to see a little bit into their life rather than just going, I'm a celebrity, here's my big house.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Although I have seen also, one thing I have been enjoying, musically speaking, I know a few, like, friends who are musicians and stuff, and like they've been doing stuff like doing songs together over Zoom or Skype,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. Or like I have a friend and he's a flute player in an orchestra, and his next door neighbours play like the cello and stuff. So when they've been going out in their gardens next to each other and like doing little concerts together for their street, which is really cute. So stuff like that I think is really nice. I prefer that much more, I think.
Yeah, we've got an accordionist next door that we only found out about this month.
Oh, cool.
So he's been playing the odd ABBA cover, which has been lovely, frankly.
That's good. As long as they're good.
Mm.
As long as they're good at it, then it's fine.
Yes, it's one of those things. It's sort of a... Lots of people are taking this time to start learning an instrument and so on, but it's sort of a... It's a time for people who have put their hours in beforehand to show off, more so than anything.
Yes. Yeah, I think... Normally, if I would see, I think if this wasn't lockdown and I saw a video of someone doing some sort of musical stuff, I probably wouldn't watch, just because it's not normally something I'm interested in. But I am quite enjoying sort of being like, oh, I'll watch this little concert, or yeah, I'll watch this little, you know, sing along or something. So that's interesting that that's changed actually. one of the things I've also been doing, just to kind of talk about another thing that's been happening, the National Theatre has been basically, they have a catalogue of loads of plays that they videoed in the past because they would show them in cinemas. And so they have about like 85 backlog of stuff. So they've been each week been showing a different play of some sort. And then my friends and I, we've all been getting on, well, we've been using Discord to watch all at the same time. So like particularly watching comedies and things, we watched One Man, Two Governors and we watched Twelfth Night and things like that. And that's actually really fun doing that together because obviously then you're all laughing at it together and it's not weird that you're just in your room like, oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, we're planning on watching The Frankenstein with Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller soon.
Which, so, also the cool thing about Frankenstein, if anyone's thinking of watching it this week, there's two versions where Benedict Cumberbatch and the other guy, who I can't remember his name.
Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah, Johnny Lee Miller. They swap roles between Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster. So we've maintained, I have been voting for my watching group that we should play the visual of one and the audio of the other one to see what would happen. But I was for some reason shot down.
Oh no.
I think that would be great, particularly as they probably wouldn't be in time.
No.
But no, apparently we're not doing that, so I'll just have to experiment with that in my own time.
It's interesting that you've been saying that because I'm not quite sure. I think everyone's been experimenting with trying to watch things at the same time.
Yeah.
Our house has been trying to communicate with another house while watching Studio Ghibli films, and we haven't quite found the best way yet, because I think the what we've been doing is sort of doing a video chat on our phones. But because there are so many people, it's hard to get them all in shot, and you can't have two phones active because then you get an awful lot of feedback. So you think Discord is the way forward for that?
Well, what we do is we just get rid of the video altogether. We use Discord, which is normally used for like online gaming stuff and not visual anyway. So we all get on that just on the voice chat, and then we have the actual movie on our own screens, full screen, and then we all do like 3, 2, 1, go, and then we all watch at the same time like that. We just don't bother with the video because trying to watch something online and also stream all the videos is too much really for Wi-Fi most of the time.
Yeah.
And also, to be honest, when you're just watching something, you don't need to be able to see everyone's face.
No, so, that's true.
Actually, that works fine. So I would recommend Discord, which is free, if anyone is thinking of that. Although I will say, the connection of Discord is not always brilliant. So sometimes it routes you through, like, it must take you to a different server or something at certain times of day. So occasionally someone just sounds like a robot the whole time. But you could do the same thing with a different program, but basically just turn off the video, I find, works fine. Speaking also, yeah, of like things like that, I think, you know, we've kind of started out big, we're getting smaller. Another one I've been doing, and I know a lot of people are doing, is playing games through online things and like using your video chat while you play a game. So like a big one is Jackbox games. I think are quite, like, I mean, I've been really enjoying them. Basically, it allows one person to have the game and then everyone else uses their phone to log in. And then you like play little games like that. But also my friend Rachel was telling me that her and her girlfriend have Animal Crossing, and so they've been doing little virtual dates through the Animal Crossing online visiting, like you can visit other people's islands, so they've been visiting each other's islands as their Animal Crossing characters, because obviously they can't go out anywhere in real life, so they've been like visiting the museum or visiting the ocean and things, which I think is really, really adorable.
That is very adorable.
And now I really want to do that, but I don't have Animal Crossing. So.
Yes, that's there's a bit of a have-nots situation going on with Animal Crossing at the moment. It's sort of a...
Yeah.
It's like a status symbol in a way. But
well, because you need a Switch. So.
And it's interesting you should say they've been going on sort of touring dates as well, because I know there are... I know some people who have been using this time to go on sort of virtual tours. For example, the Louvre does a virtual tour that you can do sort of from where you're from your laptop, and they'll sort of take you round and show you paintings and it will give you all of the information and so on.
Yeah. There's a good one. You do have to be able to speak French or you have to plug it into Google Translate. But the Musée de Clunet is another museum
about George Clooney.
Unfortunately, no. That would be great. But they have
And it
this
is the ER room, and it is the room where he was in Batman.
Here he is in the Nespresso ad. Whichever one he does, the coffee pod one.
Oh no, he is definitely he is the Nespresso man. They've gone all in on George Clooney branding.
I feel like I haven't seen a Nespresso ad in a little while, actually.
No, we've moved all our content online. So, although having said that, I've been using my work laptop every so often, and I've forgotten what an absolute delight an ad blocker is, frankly. Because I've watched 5 minute YouTube advert. 5 minute YouTube videos with two adverts in them, and it is.
This is a tangent, but I agree. The worst ones are when you get the 30-second non-skippable horror movie advert.
Oh.
I just desire to watch this other person playing Animal Crossing. I don't want to be watching about this really scary movie right now.
Yeah, get the tone right, guys. Come on.
Let me skip at least. Anyway. So the Musée de Clunet, not about George Clooney, but that would be great if it was. It's just like a general art museum. But their tour, which they had already, is like this little text-based tour, but it's this little statue is taking you around. And it's like, hello, my name is George, or whatever the name is. And like takes you around. And it's like, let's look at this bit. Which would you like? And then you pick which like thing you'd like to learn about. And it takes you around. And there's always like little cute emojis and stuff. So that's quite fun. But you do either need to be able to speak French or take the time to like highlight all the text and put it in Google Translate. The reason I enjoyed it is I'm trying to learn French, so I was like, oh, good practice. Yes, I will use this children's toy to help me learn.
Do you want to test it now? Où est le songe?
Musée de Clunet? Où est le songe? Je ne comprends pas.
The monkey is not in the museum, sadly. The monkey is on the branch.
Oh, of course. Of course.
It's all right, I only know where is the monkey and where is the swimming pool, which are not phrases that will help me in my everyday life, let alone in France.
The main one I have used, I actually went on holiday to France, où est la toilette?
Oh yeah, the classic. That's the first thing they should teach you, frankly.
Où est la toilette? And then, je ne comprends pas. I do not understand. Or, doucement, slow down.
I do not understand is what you say when you get to the toilet and you just find a hole in the ground.
True, in some parts of France, yes. Anyway.
So we're not here to badmouth the French. That's a different podcast.
Yes, that would be for another time.
Join us next week for Nerd of Mouth, the France-hating episode.
Just trashing, just completely trashing. No. Okay, final tangent on the French. Did you have a French housemate? And she had a very long discussion about how English bread is not the best type of bread. French bread is much better. And why don't we have more French bread? I was like, because we're in England.
I mean, why don't we have more French bread?
Why don't we?
Baguettes
she
are
made
nice.
A good point, which is why don't we have more bakeries? Because we move them all to supermarkets and stuff.
But we have. It's sad.
Yeah. And we have weird bread that's full of preservatives. But anyway. Don't need to worry about France right now because we can't go anyway. Sad time. Online games, yeah, I think a lot of people have been doing that. Also, one thing I've been doing, which I think a lot of people have been trying to learn how to do, is moving their D&D games online, which has been a learning experience. So normally I would play in person with everybody. Obviously, we cannot. So I've been using a site called Roll20, which basically is free. And then it lets you make like little maps and things, and it's got loads of other functions and stuff, but I don't bother with any of that. I just have it for the maps so that I can be like, this is where we are, so you don't have to try and imagine what's going on. But it has all sorts of things like you can roll the dice in the game and upload your character sheet and things like that, and there's quite a few like that. So there's also like D&D Beyond, Fantasy Grounds, and different ones, but you can get very invested, which seems you probably don't need to use that much of the functionality if you're just doing it with the video call as well. So that's quite good. But I've seen, quite a lot of people have been talking about having to sort of move their stuff online, with some successes and some failures. I think some people are finding it hard doing everything over video, actually.
No, that's...
To be fair.
It doesn't have the same feel to it in a way, does it?
Yeah, there's definitely some... I think you miss some stuff. I saw someone was making a point as well, is particularly if you only use audio, if you've got the video, it's not so bad, but if you are only using voice chat, your brain is trying to compensate for the lack of like visual context. And so that means you've got to work a bit harder in sort of understanding what's going on sometimes. So I
Absolutely, yeah.
think, yeah, it can be kind of tiring, like in a different way, to do a lot of video calls. I think people are saying it's like being zoomed out, basically, because you're getting the social interaction, but you're not necessarily always getting all of the feedback you'd normally get, so it's more tiring than usual. So I think also good to try and take on some activities that are not online at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. No, I've been, I don't know. I suspect I've been looking into it because I haven't been as productive as, you know, as I probably should be during this time. Not that you have to be productive during this time. I want to say that. This is, I saw a cartoon that summed it up, sort of, there's a guy on a boat just by himself in the middle of a storm and going, this is the perfect time to finish my novel. And that's sort of maybe what it feels like at the moment, is you sort of feel I should be doing this, but also at the same time, we are in the middle of a pandemic and maybe focus on other things. So it's not too much of a problem. But there is also, it's not a condition, but generally, if you are spending a lot of time looking at a screen, you're getting all of this stimulation. And sometimes your brain gets overstimulated, so it's harder to focus on things.
That's
So
interesting.
it's important to. And I know I sound like a dad saying, oh, isn't the internet bad?
Take a break from your screen.
Aren't you spending a little too much time on your phone, son? But it does help to just not look at your phone every now and again. If you limit your time on your phone, you are more likely to focus and come up with creative thoughts than if you're constantly getting stimulated, because creativity comes from when you're almost when you're not overstimulated in a way, when you've got when you sort
You've
of
got the
create the
space to think.
distractions yourself rather than having to look them up online.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I had a great palaver trying to find lined paper recently because I like to write a lot of stuff down physically. And of course, all of the stationery shops are closed at the moment. So I'm staying at home with my parents. I'm like, Dad, you need to find some paper. Find paper in the supermarket. They'll have it in the stationery aisle. He's like, I don't think that they do. I've never seen it. I'm like, I know, because you've never gone down that aisle before. But just look. It took them about 2 weeks, and finally my mum found it in the same shop where my dad had been looking the whole time, of course. But yeah, I definitely think moving some stuff to paper is really helping because there's more things I'm having to do on the computer. So yeah, definitely good to try and find some things that are
It really does. It really does.
not
Having
computer
paper
based.
just it lets you sort of hold more things in a way, whereas on the computer you can't really hold them in the same way. You can't retain them.
And actually, speaking of, that's another thing I've noticed a lot of people doing. I've been doing it as well. I mentioned earlier I do a lot of knitting. I do a lot of crafting in general, and that's one I think a lot of people have been doing to kind of, yeah, do less screen time. So I've seen a lot of people working on their cosplay. Seen a lot of people, yeah, making little like knit and crochet things. Both, including, I've seen several people making little coronavirus plushies, which,
Oh.
fine, like. Okay, that's one way to respond. That seems a bit strange to me, but if that's your thing, okay.
There is a small market industry in making little sort of plush diseases.
Yeah, I mean, I do actually own a common cold plushie from a long time ago, but it seems a bit, yeah, I don't know, it feels a bit weird to be like, I'm gonna make a copy of this virus. But okay. But I've also seen people like also using it for good, so obviously there's like the issue of people. Protective clothing at the moment. So a lot of people I know who do sewing and knitting and crochet have been making cloth masks for people, or sometimes the elastic on the masks can make your ears hurt. So people have been making little like ear savers where you make a little thing and put some buttons and it lets it hook on around the back instead of on your ears.
Oh, I've seen those.
Yeah, so like people have been also using it as a way to kind of show their appreciation for the NHS and like trying to help out that way. I've seen people been 3D printing masks for people,
Yeah, it's been
those
pretty
like
impressive,
overhead
actually.
visors. It's really, yeah, really cool how people have been using their like skills to try and help. Although a shame that we have to, but nice that people are doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like we need to do a shout out to your housemate, our friend Lucy, who's been running Zumba classes for everybody. And then this week's been the Disney week.
I think next week is also shaping up to be a Disney week based on the massive positive response to it.
Our friend Lucy does, she's called Zumba with Lucy Nottingham, if you want to find her. I've been doing this most days. We do like a little half an hour Zumba class. And then, yeah, this week we've been all submitting our Disney songs, which has been really, really fun. So, again, and then, I mean, it's still using the screen, but you're not obviously always looking at it as you dance around. So that's another good one. Learning some dances and things has been really good.
We had our best sort of house bonding experience because one of the times she had to masking tape her phone to the door outside, but we've got one of those sort of transparent sliding doors just to get everything in frame. It had to be up to a certain height on the wall. But then someone opened the door and sort of the phone itself dropped between the two panes of the sliding door and just fell right into a rut, and we had to spend the next 30 minutes just fishing it out. And, you know, it felt like, have you seen the film The Martian? It felt like that.
Yes, where he's trying to fix everything.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, but instead of NASA, it was just us and a spatula and some tongs.
Amazing.
But it was the tensest half hour of my life.
Yeah. Well, you've got to save the Zumba class.
Mm.
Can't let us go without our Zumba. But yeah, I think that's been really good as well. Like, I've been loving seeing everybody. Well, obviously, we only see Lucy, but we can see the other people are there, sort of all joining in and things like that. So, yeah, I think there's been loads of things, both online and offline, that people have kind of taken part in. I think that's been the main things I've been seeing everyone doing, apart from, yeah, watching a lot of TV, catching up on a lot of series I hadn't been able to otherwise.
Yeah, what's it going to be like in a few months' time when there isn't that much on TV? Because there hasn't been any production.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting. I think it is interesting to think about the effect of, like, we've all disrupted our routine, we've all been picking up new habits, and as you say, also production wise people haven't been making as much new stuff, so it will be really interesting to see what happens once we are finally let out. When Boris lets us out. I was thinking I wonder if I will probably do more online stuff, like more meeting with friends online, because actually it's very easy to organise compared to trying to be like, we need to all meet in person and, oh no, we can't all get there. But it's pretty easy to be able to do a video call.
Yeah, everyone's got the apparatus now. They've all got the ways in to do it. And, I mean, Zoom, I think, you know, they can't believe their luck, I imagine, Zoom at this point. Mm. They're just... everyone has a way in now, and I've noticed Graham Norton has been doing a show, even though most of these people don't have anything to promote anymore, because, you know, nothing's coming out at the moment. But he's still managing to get some very sort of top-tier celebrities, because, you know, they want to maintain their image in the public sector, but also at the same time they don't have to pay for, like, planes or do a carefully managed... press tour or anything. They can just show up and talk about stuff, so that's been definitely quite interesting as well. So we may well see in the future more people from inside their homes. And, you know, who'd have thought that it would turn out that YouTube creator is the most stable career at the moment?
Yeah, anything where you can make, or like podcaster, or, you know, anything you can still do from the comfort of your own home, really.
Yeah,
I think it will definitely alter some stuff like that. I mean, yeah, besides the fact that suddenly everyone is going to be able to go, well, we were able to work from home, or at least to an extent. But yeah, as you say, I think also, yeah, I think we'll see more people Skyping into things on the telly, and I think we'll probably see more people just being more like video call literate, if that makes sense, like, because everyone's had a chance to practice it, so people won't be so worried about doing it.
Yes, and on a more social side, actually, I've seen various disabled people talking about this, and how, sort of saying, before this, there was sort of a culture of, no, you can't video call into things, you can't work from home. And now after this, it's going to be very difficult for businesses to defend not allowing them to do that, especially now that all of the infrastructure is there. So I think this is going to have a, once it's over, have a positive impact on maybe the rights of disabled people to work and the conditions of their workplace.
Yeah, and hopefully increasing some accessibility to yeah, work, but also maybe events and things as well. It would be really interesting to see what the long-term ramifications are for things like that. And also, yeah, all these things that have been available for free, like, will they all go back to being paid for? What will be the effects of having some access for a while changing? But obviously, we don't know exactly what will happen there, but we shall see. I think, unless you thought of anything else that's jumping out, I think we've probably covered an awful lot of things that we've been up to and other people have been doing during lockdown.
Yeah.
So, with that, I think we can probably draw to a close. If you, listener, are thinking of things you've been doing or you want to tell us what you've been up to, we are on social media, Twitter and Instagram at nerdofmouthurn. I almost forgot the name there for a second. but you can tweet us or comment on our pictures and tell us what you've been up to. Or in for each episode, you can also obviously tell us what you think. If you are listening now and you want to catch up on some older things, also our older episodes are as a podcast format on Audioboom and Spotify. If you just type in URN, the main radio station, our podcasts are on there. And so you can listen to all of them at the same time, which would be nice. And my friend's been listening and she's been saying she's enjoying it. So,
Oh, thank
hello,
you.
people listening. Thank you very much for catching up with us, even if you can't always get the live show. And until then, I think we shall say goodbye and obviously stay safe, everybody. And I hope your lockdown is going okay. And so, we will see you at the same time next week.